thank God Brownville is safe. Let me tell you, you want to promote Brownville? Hadn't had a shooting. I don't even think we had even a speeding ticket in Brownville in the last 6 months. So I tell you, Brownville is safe. Welcome to come. The doors open. Most historic neighborhood in Pensacola. Let's actually visit to promote Brownville. Celebrate Brownsville.
Right on.
Right on. I mean, all y'all are welcome.
That road diet on the Serenities must be working then.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I guess it is. We'll talk about that at the committee of the whole, Robert.
First time in my entire tenure here that I have ever heard Lumen May speechless, not just without a quip, but without a comment. When Robert Bender jokes about the road diet and the fence on Cervantes working. But the reason I played that is because the beginning part about how there's not even a, you know, nobody's even spitting on the sidewalk in Brownsville these days because of the extraordinary presence of the county with resources and, of course, with the city and also with the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. They're making sure that everything is doing better because this has been Sheriff Chip Simmons' project that he's been working on. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm good. So, Brownsville's all cleaned up, all good, right?
Well, I mean, I don't know that crime was really the biggest problem in Brownsville. I think Brownsville has some issues with, you know, some dilapidated buildings and some historical blight, I would say. I think that poverty is still an issue in Brownsville. But what Commissioner said was accurate. I mean, Brownsville is not riddled with crime. It wasn't riddled with crime before we started the operation. The operation was started because it merged the city and county resources, and we could see what we could do to that area. Now, again, they have some challenges over there. There's no doubt. But because we had a lot of presence there, a lot of warrant service operations and such in Brownsville area, part of that was because I made a comment that when our resources would come back and report back what they've done, they report that Brownsville was a ghost town at night, which you'd want a place to be a ghost town at night with regards to, you know, suspicious activity or loitering.
That's what you want for criminals. That's not what you want for, like, you know, retail activity and just people in general.
Yeah. I don't know if you want that if you run a bar or something.
Yeah, right, exactly
that,
right.
That would be a ghost town.
Not sure the Elbow Room wants a ghost town, but yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah. But we were talking about in our patrols through our neighborhoods, it was a ghost town, which again was a good thing. And then we took you know, what we learned and what we were able to accomplish in Brownsville, and we're going to see what applies to other neighborhoods. I also mentioned, you know, the big question is where do we go from here, and where do we go? We have you know, the appropriation $800,000+ for 6 square miles, 3 in the county, 3 in the city, to put the Shot Spotter program to incorporate that into our real-time crime center. So that's what we're working on right now. So in essence, we're moving our operation to you know, an area in the city, but also the Mayfair, Montclair areas will be getting the Shot Spotter. It's going to take a couple months to get that implemented, but we're going to see how that new technology integrates with our old school police work, which is patrolling and proactive police work.
And that's what I was going to ask you is, you know, where you were at on that. But it sounds like that's a couple of months. So toward the end of the year is when we can look for the actual rollout of that. You think for the Shot Spotter, probably toward the end of the year?
Yeah, we had some meetings with the ShotSpotter folks last week, and we're going to start talking about where they want to place the cameras and, you know, just specific area to make it more effective. And then we have the location again at the sheriff's office already set up for the real time crime center. ShotSpotter is only one, honestly, it's one small part of the real time crime center. We've already had a conversation and have some MOUs with the city of Pensacola to have access to the cameras that they have. We have access to Escambia County cameras they already have. Mm-hmm. And then we have a number of businesses that already have agreed that, hey, if you need something on, because their cameras face a roadway, a major artery of some sort, we already have cooperation with them to go and provide those cameras. So while the ShotSpotter is important, it's just one relatively small piece to this overall real-time crime center.
Gotcha. Very good. We haven't had you on for a week, so let's talk a little bit about some things going back a bit. We had a homicide at the Moorings Apartments over there off of Scenic, and then we also had Chaser's Liquor Store. We had two people wound up getting shot and killed, is my understanding, unless things have changed since then. But you had, and I think you don't have any new particular information on this. You're still looking for...
That's correct. We had two individual shootings. Yeah, two individuals were killed. That was
and no thought that they're connected particularly.
No, there does not seem to be a connection. It was one was a disturbance of some sort. We're investigating as obviously a homicide, but also we always look at the motive behind it if we have information. And the chasers, when we have information that is a dispute erupted in gunfire. The moorings, we're still trying to piece that together. You know, some things are coming together. Some things are still not making sense for us.
And you had kind of gotten asked about, it hadn't been something that you had volunteered exactly, but you had been asked about the race of the people that were the suspects, the race of the people who were the victims. And this had kind of turned into, hey, Sheriff Simmons says it's a black on black crime thing. Is that what you meant to say?
Well, I mean, if you look at statistically what's who's committing these crimes, then yeah, I think if you're asking me if we have an issue this year, certainly with the homicides, where black males, typically black males, are the suspects and in most cases the victims as well, the answer is yes. I didn't come out and say those words, but,
sure.
But someone came up in our open forum in the Operation Brownsville and said it was about poverty and about this and that. And my response to that is it can be both. It can
right.
be poverty can exist, blight can exist, and then you can still have crime, and you can still have crime involving certain people, certain age groups of people. I started the whole Brownsville roundtables was saying we need to identify what's going on. And what was going on, we were having shootings at the time. We don't have as many now, but we clearly still have them.
Right.
And I said, this is the statistics. They're happening in these general areas. They were happening, and predominantly it was happening where younger black males were shooting younger black males. That was the start. This happened.
There were like 13 or so.
Yeah, you're talking about statistically this year. I looked at the homicides, and we have had 13 homicides this year.
And of those,
11 of the victims were African American, and all 13 of the suspects in those homicides were African American. Now, what does that tell you? It simply tells you that in these particular homicides, that's the suspect, and these are the victims. It's not making any judgments other than that. But I'm not here to protect anything.
Right.
I'm here to give the facts. The
you're not,
facts
you're
are
not
these.
Saying it's because of this, and you're not saying it just has nothing. You're just saying these are the facts.
Yeah, because I can also tell you the majority of these crimes are taking place in lower socioeconomic areas.
Right.
So, I mean, both of those things can be correct. And is it true that anyone can commit a homicide? Clearly, it is true that anyone can commit a homicide, and anyone, any particular age, any particular race, any particular gender, we've got reports of homicides that are committed by them. I was asked a question, and I'm not in the business of telling false information, so I tell them, what the information is. I give them the age. I give them a suspect description. I tell people what we're seeing and in what areas. You just asked me about the moorings, and you asked me about the chasers. To the listener, the locations are important. Where is this happening? Who is this happening to? Who did this? This is information that that is public record, quite frankly, and it's also information that I'm not going to just keep close to the vest if there's no reason to.
Now, this goes back to the previous weekend, but I had wanted to ask you about this. Of course, I was on vacation last week. You had designated Bristol Park as a special event zone, and this had been we'd seen this pattern where really large groups of people had been getting together and, as sometimes happens, you get a large group of people together and they're having a party. Bad things have been happening. So what was the purpose there? How did that turn out? Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so the state of Florida a couple years ago passed a statute that allowed for special event zones specific to what they call pop-up parties, or parties that look to be attracting more than 50 people, and those that are advertised online on social media. And they're not permitted. So if those three factors exist, then we can, the sheriff or I guess the mayor could designate these areas special event zones. And what does that mean? It means that basically that fines are doubled for traffic violations, tow cars away, and again those fines can be doubled. It also means that the organizer can be approached for reimbursement for the cost of enforcement.
Reimbursed
for the cost of EMS and for fire and whatever services are there.
Because normally when you get an event permitted, approved, you're going to provide those kinds of funding and fees, and there's a process, and this is kind of to make up for that or make it more like to operate a little bit more like a permitted event.
Yeah, so let me give a little history on Bristol Park. They have for years had this big event on this day, and we had worked with the organizers every year. I personally have talked to them. We provided all of our assistance free of charge. We didn't charge them for anything because we knew it was a neighborhood and we knew they were trying to do a good thing. Well, last year at this event, we seized a number of illegal guns. It was just a nightmare. The event had outgrown the location. Bristol Park's not big enough for that type of thing. So when we got word of it, we checked with the county. The county issues permits. We don't issue permits. I checked with the county. They did not have a permit. It was not sanctioned. And then we let them know, hey, you can't do this. It's not sanctioned. And then whenever we noticed that they had advertised online, and their advertisements basically come one, come all
yeah.
type of thing. Knowing what we knew the last year, knowing that we had not one but two homicides, not two shootings, one at Carver Park, unsanctioned and advertised online, and so we had one also on Crescent, unsanctioned, unauthorized basically, and also it was advertised online. Which, you know what, I can't sit idly by and just knowing what I know and let 1,000 people, because they're expecting 1,000 people, they're hoping for 1,000 people wow. at least, in that one particular area. I owe it to that neighborhood. So we put these signs up, designated it. We don't shut it down, but it does kind of let them know that we can hold you accountable for whatever you do. Now, so what do you have to do? Just get a permit, and then the county has a checklist. You have to have insurance. You mm-hmm. have to go contact, you know, provide some sort of security. It doesn't necessarily need to be sheriff's office security, but it does need to be some kind of official security at the location, because if you're going to organize an event, you need to be responsible enough to have, you know, make sure that people are safe when they get there.
Yeah, family reunion of 30 people is fine. 1,000 people at Bristol Park,
it has to hit all these things.
Yeah.
It has to be unpermitted. It has to be advertised online and you know, for one, come one, come all type thing. And then it has to be expected to attract over 50 people.
Very good. And it turned out okay?
In your neighborhood, as I understand it, we post the signs. That's why there were signs posted up there. And as I understand it, there were no problems whatsoever.
No news is good news.
I don't know that the event took place, quite honestly.
Oh, okay.
We drove by there, and there was really no event there. And my hope is that they will, that, you know, if it's, they're going to attract 1,000 people, they need to try to find a bigger venue. If you're going to have a small, you know, if you do a family reunion, you're not advertising it online.
Right.
And come one,
right,
come all.
Right.
And so you really don't have a problem. You're not going to, rise to the level of where we think that the special event zone has.
Go ahead and have your party just do it the right way, especially if it's of a certain size and if it's going to be a mixture of all kinds of people. Just make sure to do it properly so we can have it be safe. I mean, that's a goal.
There were some misunderstandings. Everyone said, oh my gosh, we can't even meet and together. That's not true. You can meet, you can have your family, you have your birthday parties, you can do all that stuff. We recommend you get a permit if you really want to reserve your spot. And we also recommend that you not, you know, let everyone come.
Right, tell everybody to just come to the party.
For all.
Very good, Sheriff Chip Simmons. Good to have you back. Good to be back. Thank you for the time. As always, we super appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Hey, you bet. Y'all take care.